Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Retirement planning. It's the mantra of every financial advisor, planner, and fiduciary you will ever run into. And the sub-mantra, and I may have just invented that phrase. Anyway, the sub-mantra is the earlier you start saving, the less you have to sock away later in life. So, our next guest wrote the book, Broke Millennial Takes on Investing, A Beginner's Guide to Leveling Up Your Money. It's actually her second and sequential book on investing for younger people.
We continue to use the expression save for retirement, and I am on a campaign to change that language to invest for retirement, because you are investing for retirement. You're not just saving your money.
For the record, the oldest millennial is 37 years old this year, so let's disabuse ourselves of the young adult in the parents' basement image. And also, side note, Gen X and Gen Z are just lost generations, right? I mean, people jump from boomers to millennials. Anyway, our Broke Millennial Takes on Investing starts now.
Aaron Lowry, author of Broke Millennial Takes on Investing.
Okay, cool. And this is part of a series. If I have this right, your first one was Broke Millennial Stop Scraping By and Get Your Financial Life Together. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, great. I missed you on that tour, so I'm happy to have you on this tour. What makes this book, A Beginner's Guide to Leveling Up Your Money, why is that a natural progression from the first book?
The reason it's a natural progression to have taken on investing as the second book is because the first one really was about the basics. You're getting your financial life together. And then in order to start actually building your wealth, the thing you need to do is to start investing. And what was really interesting is in the first book, I do have a very small investing chapter that's primarily focused on retirement, because that is how most people begin investing. And at the end of that chapter, I recommend some other investing books that are on the market that I thought, like, hey, this could be great continued reading. And I started to get emails and direct messages on Instagram and even tweets where people said, you know, I tried checking out those books and they're still just a little bit too complicated for me. I don't know anything about investing. And I realized that we tend to do that, myself included. When you're used to working in a particular world, you use language that you just think people understand, and they don't, because this isn't something that often gets taught to us. So I wanted to create what I would consider the true beginner's guide. You don't need to know anything about investing in order to pick up this book and start learning, and hopefully it doesn't feel intimidating either.
Right, and I'll have to add, too, that it is a catalyst for learning. It's conversational. It's easy to get into, but I've been doing this a little longer than you, and I found some stuff in there of high use to me too, and I do use the language and the jargon and the things like that, but I found some stuff that was very relatable, so I very much appreciate where this book lands on the spectrum. I imagine that you have to address the student loan issue. It's a political issue. It's a societal issue. So how did you tackle that problem?
That was its own chapter, because it is such a pervasive issue, especially for really many generations, but particularly for the millennial generation. It feels as if everyone has them, and if you don't, you're probably going to marry somebody that does. So it's going to touch your life at some point. And when I started asking just kind of my general community what they wanted covered in the investing book, that came up time and time again. And I even actually just did a live event, and I had the option for people to put questions in a jar. And my sister randomly pulled three out and handed them to me, and every single question was some version of, I have debt, should I be investing?
Right on. Yeah, and you know what?
It makes sense.
It really does. I mean, you want to get out in front of the problem. Like, I personally, like, shied away from the problem for too long, which is why it took me so long. If you can get just a little bit going, it feels so much better, takes so much anxiety away from you. I mean, there's nervousness, anxiety over this issue. Are you finding that in your live events?
I am, and I think what's been interesting too, especially with the student loan situation, is that if we tell people to not invest at all while they pay off their student loans, a lot of people aren't going to be starting until their 40s. That is generally how long it takes a lot of people to pay off their student loans, and that's too long to wait to start. And the reason I also say that is we continue to use the expression save for retirement, and I am on a campaign to change that language to invest for retirement, because you are investing for retirement. You're not just saving your money. And people do not consider themselves investors when they have a 401k or when they have an IRA. So that's one thing that I do try to bring up for folks is, hey, maybe when you're paying off your student loans, you don't necessarily want to be investing in a taxable account, so outside of a retirement plan. But if you have access to a 401k or if you're self-employed and you want to do a SEP IRA or just a regular IRA, please get started and be putting money away so that you have money compounding for you instead of just against you with your student loans.
Ah, the magic word, the magic of compound interest, right?
So true.
And you know what? I love your hot take on invest in retirement. I'm going to start using it. And from moving forward, I will, because I'm guilty of using saving for retirement, too.
Well, and I am, too. I even say it in the book. And then it was actually midway through writing one of those sentences. I was like, hold on a second. Why do we say it like this? And because even so, my younger sister actually said that to me recently. She goes, you know, it's interesting because I didn't realize that you're investing when it's retirement, because people always just say save. I thought you were just putting money into an account. I'm like, yes, this fundamentally is a problem. We have to shift our language.
Right on.
And that's also how you end up with people who never picked investments and they're all the way at retirement age and they've only been, quote unquote, saving money and it was never invested in compounding.
Yes, very true. Language matters. I recently had some institutional VCs, venture capitalists on the show, investors, early stage investors. And they have both pointed out, this is for two different national companies, international actually, and they both pointed out socially responsible investing as a growth area. And they said that younger investors are more interested in this and are dragging the oldies back into it. What are you seeing there? And what does your research show?
I do see that people are starting to pay a little bit more attention to what they're actually investing in and how they're profiting. Because especially with index funds, oftentimes we could be investing in companies that A, we don't even realize are in the fund, and B, that means that we're profiting off of something that we might be perceiving as harmful for a variety of reasons. And I actually do have a whole chapter also dedicated to this idea of impact investing and what that means and how to essentially look under the hood of different investment options and kind of cut through all the jargony terms that get used, because there's such a spectrum even within the impact investing to SRI to ESG compliant funds that something can kind of get dressed up as being a, hey, this is good for the environment, or this is, you know, makes you have the good feels about what you're investing in, and it still could have something that's a little bit toxic depending on your own personal metrics. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. And I also think that this isn't to condemn anyone who is, you know, just investing in basic index fund, doesn't necessarily know what all the companies are within those funds. But other people do have a bit of a stress factor around that idea, mm-hmm. that they don't know exactly how they're profiting. And, yeah, I think that people are starting to speak out about it.
It seems to me that these two books are individually guided. Like you can pick them up, and if you are a brand new beginner, you can find your way to where you're comfortable landing on a certain lily pad as you invest in retirement. Is that the feedback you're getting from those live events too?
It is, and I'm glad you mentioned it that way, because it truly was the intention. I do like to acknowledge that there are lots of shades of gray within personal finance, and to use the cliche, personal finance is nothing if not personal. So to me, it was important to create books and to create a series that really allows people to pick their own path and to, you know, use whatever guidelines that I set up in order to have their own healthy financial life, but hopefully still be able to live a life at the same time.
We're speaking with Erin Lowry. She's the author of Broke Millennial Takes on Investing. It's a beginner's guide to leveling up your money. I had a blind spot that your book addresses, and that is robo-investing, robo-advisors. Can you tell me what your research showed there, too? Because I'll be honest, I've really not looked into this one.
Well, one of the things that I liked is one of the gentlemen that I interviewed from, a very well-known robo-advisor, said that he actually hates that term and he wants to rebrand it as online financial advisors, because he thinks that that's actually a more compatible term with what they're doing, because robo implies that humans are not part of the process, and they certainly are. And he also is making jokes about how the market goes up and down, there's going to be dips, and sometimes people will send frantic emails about, doesn't your algorithm solve for this? Why am I losing money? He's like, well, we haven't solved the stock market. That's not what they do.
Right.
But the robo-advisors, you know, to a degree, of course, there are algorithms at work, and they are able to then kind of automate some of the comparison comparing different funds and tax loss harvesting and helping you rebalance. And I think one reason that it's really helpful for rookies is most of them are structured that you go in and you take a pretty simple quiz, and it helps evaluate your risk tolerance as well as your goals and therefore your time horizon, which makes it easier to set up a portfolio when you're just getting started, because oftentimes we have no idea what we're doing at that point. And so going through that sort of a process at a fee, at a price point that we can afford, is really helpful. Because for a lot of people, you kind of get locked out of the traditional financial advisor realm when you're young because you don't have the assets yet. Not all.
Right.
But painting with a broad brush, that does tend to happen.
Yeah, that's true. And some recent NASDAQ research shows that algorithmic investing is 62 to 66% of the volume. So you're right. We probably shouldn't use robo so much, but there is a lot of technical and mathematical stuff going on behind the scenes in some of these. And again, I want to kind of double down. I'd love to know your take on when it comes to individual investing and setting yourself up. What do you think about day trading? What do you think about people getting granular and picking individual stocks and watching the markets and applying hopefully their own knowledge, not just their emotion?
I was very hesitant to actually include a chapter about individual stock picking because it's not something that I advocate for, especially for a rookie. If you want to use a small kind of speculative part of your portfolio because it's interesting to you, that's fine. But I think that sometimes that can be kind of perceived as the sexy side of investing. So that's what people want to do, and that's not necessarily what's the best strategy, especially since if you're a regular person and that's not your job, it's a lot of work to be doing the research and to be picking quality stocks and still being a value investor and looking for a kind of a buy and hold type strategy, which, you know, that's not going to be everybody's investing strategy, but I think for a rookie, it's a really good start. So I think that there's a fine line of if you want to dabble in individual stock picking, just make sure that you are comfortable losing that money.
You mentioned buy and hold there, and that goes right back to the start early, right? Are you seeing people inspired or to get started? Because, boy, once you put the numbers in front of people, it's going to take X amount of dollars for you to retire at this age and live this long. We're living longer. We're working longer. The sooner you get started, the better, right?
It's that, and the thing that I really like to go for, too, is the earlier you start, the less you have to put away. And that even if you wait 10, 15 years and try to double down how much money you're going to put in, it doesn't mean you're going to catch up. And so by starting early, you do not have to put as much money per month into the market in order to achieve the same, if not a better result. And the other thing is, and this was a comment that got made to me while I was researching for the book with one of the experts that's in there, is that life doesn't tend to get less complicated. And so even if in the future you're earning more, you still might have more financial demands. And perhaps you got married and bought a house and started a family, and all of those things cost money. And, you know, now all of a sudden, while you might be making four times what you made in your 20s, you still might not have a ton of extra money to be putting into the market. So starting young and being consistent really is the best advantage that you can make for your financial future.
Well, there's my teaser soundbite I can lift out for promoting this segment. Aaron, last question is kind of macro, and it's really more of a personal one. I'm starting to feel like the word millennial is being used pejoratively by older people. Is that something I should be worried about?
Millennial does get a little bit of an abuse factor in terms of how it gets used. I also think poor older Gen Z kids, a lot of them get lumped in with us, and they're their own generation. I think the other part is, for some reason, people have kind of time-warped the millennial generation, and they still think we're in our early 20s sleeping in our parents' basements. And the older faction of the millennial generation is getting close to 40. And we have started to grow up, and we have started to, you know, achieve things and take back control of our lives. And, you know, hopefully soon people will recognize that as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked that. I'm Gen X. They don't even look at us. They're just all about you guys.
You're the forgotten generation. I feel so badly for so many Gen Xers, because even so many ads that are out there, it's say like baby boomers, millennials. It's like, no, there's someone in between.
Oh, this has been a pleasure. Aaron Lowry, author of Broke Millennial Takes on Investing, A Beginner's Guide to Leveling Up Your Money. This has been a ton of fun. Good luck on the book tour.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here.
That was Aaron Lowry. She's author of Broke Millennial Takes on Investing, A Beginner's Guide to Leveling Up Your Money. For links to Aaron and her book, please check the podcast links, or you can find the show notes online at kgoradio.com. And I'm on the Twitters. for that matter. I'm at KGO Jason. For executive producer Lee Hammer, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. My thanks to Aaron and also to you for listening. And this has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.